I haven't heard that whole Nick Riewoldt and Jared Ruffhead and Chelsea Randall debating about concussion. Do we want to do that now?
Oh, we can. I think we've got it out there. We can play it now. This is what Nick Riewoldt had to say last night on 360.
If I was in the same situation, coming, imagine September this year and still playing in your 30s.
Captain,
all of those things, I'm taking it as far as I can take it.
To where?
To Supreme Court. I'm going for an injunction. I understand the severity of concussion and we heard Chelsea's, but so there's a very clear parameter here, and the parameter is if I feel okay to play, then I'm taking it as far as I possibly can to play. Is it selfish? No, I don't think so. When you give as much as players give their whole careers for one thing, and that's to play in a grand final and win a premiership, if I'm feeling okay and they're saying you've got to sit 12 days out, which is an arbitrary number, well, then I'm seeking an injunction and I'm trying to play.
Okay, so that's the first time I've heard that. That's interesting. Let's also hear... So that's Nick's explanation about where he would be if he was in Chelsea Randall's position, who, with the Adelaide captain, of course, got concussed in the prelim. She's got the 12-day mandatory time off, and she won't be available for the AFLW Grand Final against Brisbane this weekend. Here's what she had to say.
I decided not to take any further action because what kind of message, I guess, would that be sending to our grassroots football? Because concussion is serious. It is scary. You know, when I was 20, I was watching an E Division grand final and a young man like died in front of my eyes. The week prior, he'd been concussed. He went to 7 different doctors. He got an approval to play. He was the captain of his team and he received a normal bump at a centre bounce and he never got back up.
So... Now, this is a very really sensitive, obviously. So where do you sit on this one?
The interesting thing is that if I was young and still playing football, I'd probably be thinking along the lines of Nick Riewoldt thought. But now that, you know, we've had a long time to reflect and we know a lot about concussion and the effects of a concussion, that type of thing, I think Chelsea Randall, what she had to say is exactly the way that we should be approaching this now.
Yeah, and I get where
exactly
he's
the way
from.
That we should be.
I get where he's coming from. The mentality of I feel great. You know, who says 12 days? The 12 days I think is putting there to protect ourselves from that sort of mentality and thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I know people, Gary, who say that 12 days is nowhere near long enough. It should be a month.
Yeah. So Nick's saying, well, you know, you feel great and therefore, yeah, it's a grand final and I'm going to the Supreme Court. Well, I guess the whole reason behind it is most players would have that attitude if they could. Well, if there was no 12 days, then regardless of how badly they may have injured themselves in a prelim, only a few years ago, I'd say 100% of players would say, no, I'm playing in the grand final. So the rules that we've put in place now are to protect ourselves from that sort of thinking.
That's right. They are, but they are also to protect the game, in a sense, from what may occur down the track. And we know that there's already been legal action that's been instigated by people. But it's also to protect the game and what might happen to the game if there is more and more information about head trauma as a result of concussion out there on the football field. Because if you can't get people playing the game, if people don't think it's safe and there's not rules and regulations that govern this to protect people from themselves, then people will not be wanting their children to play AFL football.
Yeah. And that very, as I said, that very mentality is, no, I'm right. I feel good. I'm ready to play. Well, you don't know. It's such a vexed question, and I admire Chelsea. Nick's taken a standpoint that I don't think will be a popular one, but that's okay. That's his view, him being honest. Cam's in Mount Waver. Go, Cam.
Hey, boys. I'm with Nick on that one. I don't think there'd be much difference between two head knocks 7 days apart or 14 days apart. Just a random number, and I think I'd definitely take the route that Nick Riewoldt's taken there.
Yes. I guess what we're saying, Cam, is that we've got to try and protect ourselves from that line of thinking. And I suppose what you and Nick are then saying is, okay, who says 12 days is the number, is the catch-all? Why would the 12-day number be the answer to everything?
Because I think we've got to trust the experts, don't we, at some point? When we're talking about the brain, we're talking about head trauma.
You just said the expert said that 12 days isn't enough.
Well, there are some people out there that believe that that isn't enough, but then 12 days is better than playing again the following week. That's what they would say. No, a 12-day break is still better.
Bill's in Altona. G'day, Bill.
G'day, boys.
Good, thanks.
Two things. Surely the Players Association or individual players would have signed an agreement for this anyway, so I wouldn't think it would get to court. And the other thing is, it's a bit easier for her to say because she's already played in two flags and Nick hadn't played in any. So I think if Nick had played in a flag, he'd be a little bit more understanding.
I'm going to play you Jared Ruffhead after the break because we've got to get to a break. Because Jared Ruffhead had that same response, Bill. He was of the different opinion to Nick, but he said maybe because I've got flags under my belt and you haven't, that I've got a different attitude to it.
I think after seeing that story that Chelsea just, my view is a little bit different. Now, our views would be on that because maybe I've been successful and unfortunately Nick wasn't. He got there, but unfortunately not. So I think there's a lot more than just having to play a grand final and hopefully living.
Is that what you've dealt with personally as well, other than achievement on the field?
Well, my perspective changed, a whole lot. Like, as I've said before, when the doc tells me I expect you to live to be a granddad, that means a whole lot more than the 15 years of footy that I've played. That's just, if I live to be 100, that's 15% of my life. I really, there's more to it than just 2 hours of footy.
So three really different perspectives, isn't it? That's Jared Ruffhead. We heard from Nick Riewoldt and Chelsea Randall, who's going to miss the grand final on the back of the new protocols that have been put in place.
And there's a lot of temper texts coming through as well. Could it be also a measure to protect all players in the game? Imagine you were the player that bumped the person coming back from concussion fairly and they never got back up again. I mean, there's a lot of things to be considered in all this. We've got a lot of calls online as well. Dave's in Langwarrin. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, gents. Look, the element of Nick's argument or opinion that I do agree with is the fact of this number of days, 12. I don't believe that's any recognised benchmark in the treatment or monitoring of concussion. I think it's just the number where it's come to an agreement with the Players Association and the AFL to say, look, we're doing the right thing. We're giving them at least 1 week off, and that's the highest number we can get to without making it missing two games of football. Who knows how long it's going to take for a player to be well or better or safe to play. But that particular number is window dressing.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand what you're saying. I understand what Nick's saying as well. But we also have the opinion we're seeing players get knocked out and carried off the ground before this number came in and playing again the next week. And we're now... We've been able to glean a hell of a lot more information through, the posthumous investigation into the brains of, Danny Frawley and Shane Tuck and Polly Farmer and others that suggest, well, we can't have that. We can't have players getting concussed and walking back and saying, no, I'm right and going to play a week later. That by any measurement doesn't appear right. So 12 days maybe, as Tim said, maybe unbelievably lenient in terms of the time frame.
Well, I know there's some experts out there that believe that it is.
It is Carlton Membership Day today. Buy three games and you get access to six, which I think is a pretty good deal given we're four games into the season. The Carlton Membership fan base is growing. I think it's at an all-time high. They opened their account a couple of weeks ago against the Dockers. Followed it up with a good win, hard fought, I thought, against the Suns on Saturday night. The coach, David Teague, has been good enough to join us. Teague, welcome.
Good morning.
You got us loud and clear there. Hopefully we're coming through loud and clear. A nice result. Nice result on the weekend against the Suns. It wasn't easy, though.
No, it wasn't easy and it wasn't pretty. But, I was really happy with it. And from a coaching group point of view, we love the way the boys fought it out. It was a real arm wrestle, and they're the games that you need to be able to play. You need to be able to adjust not only the conditions but your opponents. We thought our group did it well.
Teague, at this stage of the season, I know it's only early, we're only a month in, and there's some bad news yesterday regarding Silvani and also Fisher and operations that they've got to undertake. And we know that Caleb Marchbank also is out for 12 months. But in terms of what you're putting out there on the park at the moment, the way that you're playing. What sort of a pass mark would you give the group and the team right now out of 10?
Out of 10? Oh, I'd be saying about a 7. I was really disappointed with our Collingwood game. I don't think we turned up with the intent that you need to have to play at this level, and particularly when you put that navy blue jumper on, you need to bring effort. And I thought we're a bit off, particularly for our half. But in the other three games, I thought we had good intent against Richmond. Our system wasn't quite right. We sat back defensively and conceded too many inside 50s. But the last 2 weeks, I've been happy with the way we're going. And at the end of the day, most of the fans and experts will measure on wins and losses. But three out of the four games, I've been happy with the way we've gone about it.
The adjustments that you've had to make, obviously there's been the rule changes around the game and everyone's spoken about that, and more attacking or open spaces to attack through, that type of thing. Are you still fine-tuning your game to suit what's being played at the moment?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's what happens throughout every year. You're always adjusting to slight trends of the game. We probably got spooked by the St Kilda game, where the game was very quick by both teams, and then we sat back against Richmond, and it's not how we wanted to play. So to the players' credits, they've taken on the feedback and the learnings, and we've adjusted in the last 2 weeks. We've played the game more in our half and the way we want to play the game.
Are you getting your forward group? Well, I know you haven't had access to everyone on your list, but it seems to there be some continuity, and there seems to be Harry Mackay just developing an ownership of the forward area. Is that the way you're seeing it unfold?
Yeah, it's been a challenge. There's still what I have loved is the understanding now of the roles, and regardless of who comes in, what role they've got to play, and our ability to connect and convert when going forward has improved. Our ball movement across the whole field's probably slowed down a little bit in the last couple of games. Well, it was pretty slippery up at Gold Coast, but ideally, we can move the ball quickly and they can play to a system, and it doesn't matter who it is. It might be Harry's week 1 week, and next week it might be a Small's turn to get a hold of the opposition. But I think the work that Cameron Bruce has been doing with our forwards has given us a little bit more system around it, rather than just relying on raw talent.
Hey, take us back to that Collingwood game when you say you weren't happy with it. You weren't happy with, like, you hadn't arrived or didn't come to play, whatever term you used. Do we expect too much to have a group turn up every week in the frame of mind ready to compete? And why doesn't that happen? And it's not just exclusive to Carlton, but in this instance, we're talking about your team's performance against Collingwood.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And you see it, and you see some of the great teams at times, and they're just off for whatever reason. My experience with this group is they do. They turn up and compete, and we've had lapses for periods, but as a whole, we find a way to compete, and we haven't always won. So that's something I really respect in this group, is their ability to turn up every week. So that game stood out to me. I think we conceded 11 goals in the first half, and then after half time, when we finally turned up, we defended quite well. So that was probably the most disappointing thing. It hadn't been a pattern of behaviour for this group. So is it a challenge? It is a challenge. The games are a little bit longer now, and staying up and about is probably the art of what a really good player does. They have an internal drive. They're probably not looking for external motivation, and they play as much on pride of performance and not letting their teammates down as much as anything.
You played Port Adelaide at the G on Saturday night. Are you ready for that challenge? I mean, it's going to be a great challenge against one of the better credentialed sides in the competition right now.
Oh, we're looking forward to it. I know that for sure. These are the games you want to play in. You want to play against the best. And Port have been a great team over the last couple of years and play a really exciting brand of footy. They'll score quickly, but then they defend strongly as well. So we're looking forward to the challenge, and we need to step up. I think the way we've played the last couple of weeks will get us in the game. We've got to improve. We've got to get better again, particularly probably with our ball movement on the weekend probably wasn't at the standard. So it's a great challenge. We look forward to it. And what we can't wait is our fans. We'd love our fans to feel the G and make it feel a bit like the Port, what we do when we go over and play in a state. And we love our fans. We get a lot of energy off our fans. So we can't wait for them to turn up and watch us on Saturday night.
Is this when you learn the most about your team?
Oh, I think so. Oh, I think there's two times when you really learn the most. When things are against you, the character, and I thought the way the guys responded after the Collingwood game to Frio. The other one is when you're winning and you come up against a really good opposition, and I think this is something our group need to handle, and I think we're ready for it, and to win two and to then play probably one of the premiership fancies is exactly what we're looking forward to. And look, we may not get the result. We'll go out there, and what we need to do is play the way we want to play, bring the right intent, and see where we're at. And we feel if we do play our way and play with that intent and conviction that we will win the game. So that's our challenge.
David, everybody, we're talking to David Teague, the coach of Carlton. Everybody's out there trying to improve their team, improve their list. And Sam McClure talked about this on Footy Classified last night, that you had sat down with Clayton Oliver during the off-season. I'm assuming that did take place, and were you impressed with him at the time?
Yes, it's an interesting question, this one, Tim. Look, we're always looking to add talent to our list, and we do that every year, and lots of players will seek around, but I'm probably not going to go into the detail of who we sit down with. I know there's other rumours going on around Carlton Football Club at the moment, and We're excited with the list we've got right now, and we'll continue to look to add talent over the period.
Well, can you confirm you've had to kick him out of your spare room?
Spare room, I'll tell you what, you wouldn't want to be staying at my house. I've got three little kids, and one of them gets up at around 4:35. So you're not playing the way he's playing at the moment if he was sleeping in our spare room.
Okay, just a couple of quick ones that have come off our message that clearly Carlton supporters. Liam Stocker, can you give us an update on him?
Yeah, he's been going well. He's had a really good pre-season. He's competing well as a strong-bodied midfielder. So he's playing some really consistent footy, and he's thereabouts at the moment.
McGovern?
Yeah, Mitch has played two games back. So he's put his hand up in a possible replacement for Jack Silvani this week. We'll see how he goes through training today, but he'll be right in the mix.
And Kennedy's the other one who people want to know about.
Yeah, he's another. He subbed on for us during the last quarter up against the Gold Coast. Like Liam Stocker, has been really strong in the inside mid role, competes hard, and right on the edge as he was our sub last week.
And when are you expecting Zach Fisher back? We know that he's had surgery on his ankle. It looks like a nasty one this year. Are you expecting to play again this season or not?
Yeah, as far as I know, he is. He goes in for surgery today. Often they'll come out and they'll say, yes, this is what we thought it was, or they might find something different. But he's been pushed back a couple of weeks. So I think he was around 6 weeks. So I think this surgery is going to push him back a couple extra weeks. So that still gives him plenty of time to get back and play again this year.
And what about just on a broader issue, and this is about the game itself. We know that at the end of the home and away series, I know you just love to be playing in the final series, but at the end of the home and away series, there is that break, that fortnight's break before we commence the final series itself. Do you want to see that stay the way it is, or would you prefer a break between the prelim and the grand final, have a fortnight off for that to prepare a team?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having the issue of having to deal with it, to be honest, as a football club. But I think it, I don't mind the idea of the one between the grand final, particularly with the concussion protocols. You look at Chelsea Randall missing this week as the captain of Adelaide, and it probably just limits that and allows the best players to be out there and a big build-up. I think in the past, the benefit of finishing top four and getting that bye if you win your first week has disappeared. I don't think it's as big a benefit as it has been in the past. So, but the reason it came in was because teams were resting everyone in round 23. So that's still going to be a challenge if there's no bye. So, I'm not sure which is the right answer, but I don't mind the idea of trying the bye before grand final.
Teague, it's Carlton Membership Day. You buy three, you get access to six. You've had wins against the Dockers and the Suns. Couldn't get the job done against Richmond the Pies. I think Saturday night is absolutely massive for your season. And Carlton supporters, to get along and support them at the MCG when you take on Port Adelaide. It's going to be a fantastic night, and we appreciate you jumping on the line this morning.
No, you're spot on. It's a really exciting game, and one that we'd love as many fans as possible, and particularly our members. Our members have been great for this football club, and as many as them to get down and cheer our boys on. I know they really value it, and it definitely gives them energy. We feed off the energy of the crowd, so we want to thank them as well.
Good on you. David Teague joining us there, the coach of the Carlton Football Club. You can get on today. Good time to do it. Buy three games and get access to six. It is a huge game Saturday, Tim.
Huge.
There are games that I think Carlton have got to put a stake in the ground. They're a big buzz team over the summer months. There was a lot of buzz. I know they've had a few injuries, but every club has. They didn't get it done against Richmond. There was enough there. 25 points wasn't too bad. They were disappointing, as you heard, against Collingwood. They've beaten two teams who, the Dockers over here, a bit light on, and then the Suns, I think, was a reasonable win. But this is quality opposition at the MCG, and if Carlton are going where their supporters hope they're going to go, without Butters, without Dersma, then they're gonna make a really bold showing.
Gary, I'll take you back to the GFC many, many years ago, the global financial crisis, and the IMF went around Europe and they did this stress testing on all the banks around the world. This is one of those stress test type games, this one this weekend.
Melbourne United going beautifully at the moment, sitting right on top of the table. 17 wins and 5 losses. The coach, Dean Vickerman, been good enough to join us. Welcome, Dean.
Thank you.
When you do your pre-season predictions and you're looking at the season unfolding, do you dare to think that 17-5 might be the result after 22 games?
Yeah, I'd take it every time if you told me that at the start of the season. But, we've had our bumps in the road and, had our injury concerns, as every team in the league has. It's interesting going to, from a 28-game season to a 36-game season and, the virus and different things impacted pre-season. But, there's been so many injuries in our league this year. It's, really interesting. And trying to deal with it and win games with players out has been a challenge for all teams this year.
Dean, you talk about that. And then you had the NBL Cup, 4 weeks sort of in the hub, lots of games. Do you think that has contributed to it?
Yeah, contributed to it. And we see there's obviously a fatigue in our league. The scoring rate since the hub has dropped about 6 points. And no one's scored 100 points since that period. So there's a general fatigue across our league at the moment. I think everybody came out of the hub and there was a couple of high scoring games. Everyone was excited to get back to their home state and see their families. But then again, it's just dropped off as the games have continued to come thick and fast. And you add travel to that one as well.
Were there benefits from a coaching perspective in playing all those games in sort of like a concentrated period of time though, in terms of what you were able to do and what you were able to look at?
Yeah, you didn't get too many quality practices. Obviously good for, scouting and see the depth of scouting. Obviously, teams have got 3 or 4 guys that you probably normally focus on, but you've got to see, their 8th, 9th, 10th guy, how they're going to respond to being in key situations as well. So, it was a real mix of the quality of practice and how short and sharp you needed to have it just to try and be ready for the next game.
You've had long runs of victories, Dean. There's a couple of times you've been on these 6-7 game winning streaks and you're on one at the moment. Is that an indication of where you guys sort of sit in terms of the dominance of the competition? Do you see it evening itself out as it rolls on? Or how do you explain the run that you've been on a couple of occasions?
Yeah, I guess us and Perth have had some really good runs, us at the start of the year, and then now we're on a 7-game winning streak right now. I'm not sure about the dominance. You look at a lot of those games and, a lot of them are decided in the last 2 minutes or 3 minutes of the game. So I think just the confidence, the defensive ability to get stops at the right time and where you go to key guys in closeout situations can be the difference between a mid-level team and a top team right now.
Sorry, Gary.
No, you go, Tim.
I was just going to say, Jock Landale's influence on this group, how significant has it been?
Yeah, it just continues to grow. And, sometimes I forget he's only 25 or something like that. But he's played, a couple of years of pro overseas and had great experiences with the national team and things. And some, I continue to look at him like he's a lot older. I love the space that he's got himself in right now, to know that, his mobility, his ability to stretch the four, and then be a, you know, dominant post presence at different times as well. So he's a really tough cover. And then he's done a great job of protecting the rim for us as well defensively. So, you know, he's such a key to our team.
You play Illawarra this week. What's the greatest challenge when you're playing against a Brian Gorgian coach team?
Yeah, you know, right now I think we're rated the best defensive team in the league, and they're the second best defensive team in the league. And they've rebounded the basketball really well. I think when everybody talks about Illawarra, they talk about Harvey and Jessup and the key scorers that those two are. But you know, all round they've been a really solid basketball team in a lot of different areas. So, you know, Harvey, when he gets 20, 25, they become really dangerous. So we feel like hopefully getting Shea Illy back, having, you know, Udai and Sam McDaniels as real key defenders for us, that we've got some tough matchups for him.
Hey, we wish you well with that and for the season, obviously. Just before we let you go, the CEO, Vince Crivelli's announced that at the end of the year he's going to be heading to the big office. He's had a massive impact on the organisation.
Yeah, massive. You know, built it. Went through the change of Tigers to United. You know, really started the franchise again and, you know, built it to a point where, you know, we have multiple owners and, you know, businesses, you know, tripled in size as well. So done an amazing job and wishing the absolute best. Glad he's staying in basketball and I'm sure he'll have a great impact at the NBL.
Yeah, and we wish you the best as well, Dean. Thanks for joining us and good luck for this weekend and the rest of the year.
Cheers.
Thanks, Dean.
Melbourne United coach on top of the ladder, our team, Wispy. Because Hutchie says they are, so they are. And we wish them all the best and we hope they win the title.